So what motivated you to run for this position?
Well, I'm running because, you know, Riley County residents have been forced to choose between education or risking the lives of their children to go to school, between paying for utilities or buying dogs for the week, or between their business, their livelihood, or their own life. And I want to say that this was caused by COVID, but the truth is, for many, it has always been this way. And we are not going back to normal. Normal didn't work before COVID, and it's even worse now. So we make our voices heard. We can transform our county government to meet the needs of our whole community and build a stronger economy. And so if you vote for me, if the residents of Riley County vote for me, I promise that we will do this together.
Has any of the recent events, such as the recent Black Lives Matter protests, kind of added to your motivation?
Absolutely. Across the board, we're seeing a lot of people feeling unheard, not just those, you know, not just Black lives. For example, rural Riley County has been pleading for an ambulance station for years and have been rejected and denied because our county government favors profit over people. And so we're seeing, especially with COVID now, that those who were hanging on by a thread are now marginalized, and those who were already marginalized to begin with, their experiences have become exacerbated, and we are facing a historical crisis.
As far as the, you mentioned something about a new ambulance station. Can you talk a little bit about that and what your ideas are concerning that?
Absolutely. So right now it takes about 40, 45 minutes for an ambulance to arrive in the most northern part of Riley County. Recently, there was an individual, a farmer, who was severely injured, and it took 45 minutes for that ambulance to arrive, and that is unacceptable. And so we need to have an ambulance station located in northern Riley County to decrease the ambulance response time. We also need an ambulance station there because we're in the middle of a pandemic. We have seen through stories upon stories within our community and across the world, across the country, that many are asymptomatic and all of a sudden they can't breathe. They have a high fever. They have aches to the point where they cannot move. And that can happen in anywhere. And so we need to make sure that our county is equipped to respond in a fast manner, because a minute can be the difference between whether someone lives or someone dies. And so we need to make sure that we have an ambulance station in northern Riley County, which does not exist right now, and we need to have it in a central location there. And right now, geographically speaking, it makes sense to have it in Leonardville, but bottom line is, before any of these decisions are made, I want to continue to make sure that I engage with the community members there to better understand their needs, including the ambulance need, but other things as well, such as access to transportation and to more health care.
Real quick, and I should have asked you this at the very beginning, but can you just kind of talk about your background, whether it's career or education, as well as any experience that is pertinent or could help you be an effective county leader?
Absolutely. So I was raised in Manhattan, Kansas. I went to the Catholic school here, and then went to Manhattan High School. The plan was to either be a lawyer or to become a basketball player. and sophomore year in high school, my parents sold their Chinese buffet and opened up what is known today as the Asian Market. And when that was open, it was a new experience for the family. It was a lot more than what my two immigrant parents expected, and they needed support. And me being someone who was fluent in English and knew how to use the internet, it was definitely an advantage. It was definitely a set of skills that my parents needed. And so I gave up basketball and focused on helping my parents build their business at the age of 15. But sports has always been a passion of mine. And I continue to find ways to be involved. So through intramural sports, I coach youth basketball at the YMCA in Central City. And senior year, I realized, well, I'm in this really unique position where I am very knowledgeable about sports. I have a passion for it. And through the years, by then, I would have already had 3 years of being essentially a co-founder of a local business. I felt that I had that business acumen, and those two combined provided me the opportunity to learn, to attend New York University in the Big Apple and study sports business. And while I was studying sports business, I the goal was to now work in corporate sports, but I felt that that is not where my heart really was. I always wanted to be more focused on grassroots, on more community-based organizations. And so I slowly transitioned out of that and graduated in December of 2018, came home with the expectation of going back to New York City. But I realized that this was the first time in my life where I didn't have to be somewhere. I didn't have to go, I didn't have to go to school. I didn't have to go to a certain job. I was just home. And that allowed me to kind of just think about what are my priorities, what am I passionate about, who I am, and what kind of legacy do I want to leave. And I realized I want to be home. I want to be home in Raleigh County, and I want to help build this community. I want to help this community become what it has always wanted to be. And so I stayed and operated the Asian Market with my family. And then fast forward, COVID hit. And COVID hit back in March. And when that happened, everyone's life changed. For us, we were in the front lines of the tension, of the fear, of the panic of COVID. The Asian Market is a grocery store. And so people were, our regular customers were coming in buying literally hundreds of pounds of rice. And then those who were not our regular customers, if they couldn't find things at the bigger grocery stores, they were also coming to us trying to find toilet paper, trying to find hand sanitizer. It was so overwhelming in all the different ways. And in the following week, it became very clear that our government, especially our county government, is not equipped to lead us through the pandemic response. They have continued to drag their feet on many different decisions that impact our public health. They have recklessly spent taxpayers' dollars on a property that they were not even planning on using for another 10, 20 years. And so seeing this negligence and also being in the front line, feeling the pain, feeling the struggle, I felt like I needed to step up and be the voices of those who are hurting, for those who are struggling, for those who have always wanted to be heard but never had had the capacity to do that. And I'm fortunate to be in a position where I can do so, and I look forward to proudly and accurately representing the people of District 2 in Raleigh County.
You talked a little bit about the county's budget in the context of, or county spending in the context of the coronavirus pandemic. What are your thoughts on the current state of the county's budget and their overall response to the pandemic?
So I am glad that they have decreased slightly the mill levy for this year. But ultimately, we need to find ways to fund the necessary services that our residents need without putting that financial burden on them. This is a short-term solution, which may cause long-term problems, because the less funds we have, then there are certain things that may get overlooked, and we are not in a position to do that. So currently, the Raleigh County and counties across the state have been given SPARK CARES Act funding. Here in Raleigh County, we have received $14.9 million in funding to address COVID-related expenses. And I see this as an opportunity for Raleigh County, for our county government, to address the ambulance situation in Northern Raleigh County. I know that ambulance is on top of mind for the county government, because recently when they were speaking about about how they were going to use these funds, David Adams, the Raleigh County Emergency Services Director, mentioned ambulances and equipping them with more lights and saturation, which I agree with. But still, that does not address that we have over 2,000 people in our population in Raleigh County without quick access to an ambulance. And so we need leadership. We need a county that is compassionate, that wants to engage with the public. And so far, they have done everything they could to keep the public out by not accepting virtual public comment. And when they were approached to live streaming of meetings, it took them 2 months to set that up. And so their pandemic response has been irresponsible, and it's all rooted in the fact that there is a lack of transparency, there's a lack of accountability, and they just do not engage with the people. And the people closest to the problems are the people who are closest to the solution. And so we need to work with our people. We need to have more intergovernmental collaboration and unity, so we can all be on the same page on what needs to be done for us to move forward and not only survive this pandemic, but to thrive in the years to come.
What changes would you like to see that would make the county commission more transparent?
Number one is that they need to prioritize people over profit. Every single time they are addressed with a concern is brought up, it always goes down to the numbers. And I get it. I'm a business owner. I am feeling the numbers being crunched. I understand that. But ultimately, it is our duty as government officials. It is the duty of government officials to take care of their people, and they have not done that. And so, first, make county meetings, county commission meetings, more accessible. The live stream of meetings is a good first step, but people can't contribute without having to go to an 8:30 a.m. meeting on a Monday and on a Thursday during the work week. And so we need a virtual public comment. We also need to look into switching the time for these meetings. Most people are not available at 8:30 in the morning. As I said, it's during the work week, and people have families. People also, people have other things to do to be able to just sustain their life. And so we need to meet people where they're at. And the first step is to making it more accessible. And once we make it more accessible, we need to engage them appropriately. It can't just be emails and phone calls. We need to engage them in many different means, and we need to make sure that we provide adequate time for our residents to understand what major decisions are coming up. it can't just be, okay, tune in today and hear what's going to be said, and bam, that's it, because that's currently how it's set up. And so accessibility and public engagement, community engagement is needed. If we're, those are the two first steps in order for us to address this pandemic successfully.
Outside of the delivery of emergency medical services to the county, are there any other changes you would like to see in how the county government delivers or in agencies deliver services to the county?
Outside of this ambulance situation, we're very fortunate in Raleigh County to have such a strong workforce. With Fort Riley and K-State, we attract incredibly talented, diverse, creative, innovative people. And they serve on our advisory boards on county government. One that comes to mind for me is the Food and Farm Council. One of their goals is to address food access. And Raleigh County has one of the highest food insecurity rates in Kansas. There is a reason why we received 50,000 pounds of potatoes last weekend, I believe. There's a reason for it. There's a reason why we were chosen to receive that. It's because we have a significant amount of our population that goes to bed hungry or does not know when they're going to have the next meal. And so for me, on top of accessibility and community engagement, it is also utilizing the talents and skills that are already in our community, already in our county government, whether that's in department offices or on these advisory boards. We have ideas, and we need to collect those ideas. We need to workshop those ideas. And then as a county commission, we need to collect all of that, and we need to review them and then find ways to fund them and find ways to make sure that we fund them without putting that burden on that financial burden on our residents.
All right. I think that's all the questions I have for you. Is there anything else you'd like to discuss?
The last thing I just want to say to you and to the residents of Raleigh County is that we can get through this together, and we will. We are an incredibly strong, resilient community. Our history shows it. Our behavior shows it. I hear you, Raleigh County, and I look forward to representing you and fighting for you every step of the way. Thank you so much for having me on today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for giving us the time to talk with
Absolutely.
You.
All right. Enjoy the weekend.
All right, you too. All right, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.